I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope. Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match.
Let's go.
Let's go. Go.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Dalvin Cook could come to the Jets. Dalvin Cook retweets it with 2 100 emojis.
What does that mean?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Here's what it means. He's into the idea. If I am the New York Jets, go get him.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Joe Douglas, go get him.
Earlier on the show, ESPN senior NBA writer Brian Windhorst. Comedian Tom Grossi. Coming up, Panthers running back Miles Sanders. Actor Patrick Renna. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. What a wild first 2 hours we've had. It's just one of those things where just like, what are you going to talk about on June 27th when there's no NBA? There's the NHL draft tonight. There's Major League Baseball. The NFL is fast asleep.
It's June 28th, but I see your point.
Did I say 27th?
Yeah.
Yeah, the days run together. I just need a calendar on this desk. Miles Sanders is slated to call in any moment now. Do we call in? Does he call us? What do we got? Ah, okay. At some point, he's going to call us. And if not, we'll just tell him another time. Patrick Renna, the Hambino himself,
yeah,
from the brilliant movie The Sandlot, he is in studio in about 20 minutes' time. And he was here for the 25th anniversary of The Sandlot. He's coming back for the 30th. Unbelievable.
So are we just going to book him for 28 right now?
What do you mean? It's the 30th.
35th.
Oh, for 20. I see what you're saying.
2020.
I see. Yeah. Let's do it.
Just book him every 5 years.
That's right. 5 years in Jerusalem, as we say. The 30th anniversary of The Sandlot. He's also in an upcoming movie called Boys of Summer. You know who's in that one? Mel Gibson and Lorraine Bracco.
Whoa.
Oh, Dr. Melfi.
I know.
All right.
That's a great movie in the 90s as well. Yeah. Sort of like my fantasy team. Like my fantasy football team is just usually a couple years behind. At any rate, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Great chat with the comedian Tom Grossi, yeah, who's in studio. I believe he is going to be on NFL Total Access tonight.
Look at you.
Well, I mean, I know some people over at the NFL Network.
Booker.
Well, I mean, again, it's June 28th, right?
June 28th.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I don't know. It's John Elway's birthday today.
Hey! The Duke.
63.
63 years of age. Mount Rushmore, you want to do it?
Oh.
Is he on it?
I mean, 5 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I like.
He's on it.
He's on it.
Elway's on it.
I think he's on it.
Huh?
I think he's 4th or 5th, kind of depending on.
Let's put
on
a pin
your
in that.
Preference.
Let's put a pin in that. Let's put a pin in it. Because we do have Miles Sanders calling into this program. And if you missed any of the first 2 hours, we also had Brian Windhorst on in hour number one. What a great conversation with him about what did go on in the office of general manager of the Blazers, Joe Cronin, when Damian Lillard was in there with his agent yesterday. And it was a 3-sentence statement that came out saying, we had a good chat. He said basically that 3-sentence statement was he didn't ask for a trade yet.
Yet.
And if you missed any of that, if you missed hour number two, we just had an interesting conversation about the LIV Tour and how Phil Mickelson and the rest of the stars of the LIV Tour, I don't think they care if they ever play another round, hit another golf ball on the PGA Tour, personally. That's what they sound out right now. We re-air on the Roku channel as soon as we're done at the end of this hour. And joining us back here on the Rich Eisen Show for the second time as a Carolina Panther, former Philadelphia Eagle, running back Miles Sanders here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Miles?
I'm good, Rich. How are you?
Where have I found you? Where are you?
Say that again?
Where have I found you? Where are you right now?
I'm currently in Jersey right now in a hotel. I had a camp in Jersey.
Okay.
South Jersey yesterday, and I got the camp in Harrisburg tomorrow. So
okay, so you might not be an Eagle anymore, but of course you can't quit this area. I mean, you have so you have too many roots in this area of the country.
Yeah, it's my hometown state. It's my hometown state. So,
what exit are you from? In New Jersey.
Pittsburgh.
Say it again.
I'm from Pittsburgh.
You're from Pittsburgh, PA. New Jersey's across the way from Philadelphia, so fantastic. Let's just jump right into this, Miles Sanders. How has Bryce Young looked to you?
Bryce Young has looked very, very, very well to me. I could say, I said this in my interview before, but I don't know what Nick Saban's doing over there with them Bama guys, but he's creating some very sharp guys. I look at him and he's very sharp and on it with everything. He's there early. He leaves late. Or on the field, I'm talking to him, just telling him just take control of the offense. And I very well see that when we're doing plays and going against the defense and stuff like that. His decision making is smart. He doesn't force anything really. His pocket presence is what really stands out to me. So. And, the height doesn't matter at all. I hope nobody's worried about the height, but I like him, and we got a bright future ahead.
Well, so I'll ask this question of you. I asked it of your teammate Adam Thielen a couple of weeks ago. Is there a moment at one of these OTAs, it could also be inside the facility at any point in time, where you thought to yourself, okay, we're good with this kid? Not that you had a question, but like a one moment where you're like, okay, he gets it. We're good. What do you got for me there?
Yeah, actually, it was a throw to Adam, actually. It was a throw that he made. Like I said, his pocket presence, you might think he's going – I know we're just in helmets and stuff, but you can kind of, imagine how it would be with Pez. But his pocket presence is amazing to me. You think he's going to get sacked. You think he's just looking to – and he's lost in there, but no, he got his eyes downfield and his release is quick, too. He lets it go quick and it's accurate. So, and that's what really stood out to me. And I was like, okay, I think we're okay.
So it was that throw to Adam Thielen where you're...
Yeah, it was either to Adam or... It was one of our receivers. Our receivers are out there balling, too. So, it was a certain throw. I was like, okay, I think we're okay. And, like, his control of the offense, this whole control of the offense, and he just embraced everything. So
again, and I know you said forget about the height, but you said it looks like you can get lost in the pocket. Is that what you were referring to, and that it allayed any concerns?
Like what I meant by like, when a quarterback looks like he's lost,
sure,
and he looks like he's about to get sacked. That's not the case with him. He's always got his eyes downfield. He's really just trying to, sabotage certain coverages by like scrambling and stuff, and then he sees something, he lets it go quick. That's what really stood out to me, and I like that.
And then of course he's not the first quarterback with Alabama on his resume that you've played with.
Right.
Any similarities between Bryce Young and Jalen Hurts that you've noticed so far?
Just how they approach the game. Very businesslike, and like I said, he's there early and he leaves late. The last one to leave, and like I said, he's trying to control. He's getting a good grip of the locker room already, and he's just like I said, he's one of those guys that comes to work every day, great mood, but serious and all about his business.
Well, I mean,
main two similarities with them.
To say he's got a good grip on the locker room already, that says a lot to me, Miles. I'll be honest. An example you have of that you're willing to share?
Everybody just likes him. I think he's just a real – it's hard not to like him, He's very humble, but he knows he's that guy. But, like, he's very humble with it. And, like I said, he comes to work every day and puts on. And so, we see it in the film, so.
So he's not going to carry anybody's equipment or get breakfast or
– Well, I don't know. I'm not a quarterback. You got to ask Andy about that.
Oh, that's a Dalton – that's a Dalton thing, huh? Okay.
He's a quarterback. He's the vet, so they probably might get some.
I don't know. Dalton sounds like the guy that might make breakfast for Bryce because he's so nice,
Andy is a nice guy.
That's what I'm saying. He might be like that guy saying, hey, I'm going out for some breakfast. Is there anything I can get you? Because he's too nice. He doesn't strike me as that guy that's going to make him sing the Alabama fight song or anything like that. You know what I mean?
No. The rookies definitely got to sing, though. I had to do it. Everybody had to do it.
What did you have? You had to sing the Penn State fight song? Is that what you had to do?
No. I tried a Tupac song. It didn't go well. I forgot the lyrics.
Which one? Which song?
Okay,
song?
Hold on a minute. I want to start. Hold on a second. Start to finish. Walk me through what happened. Hold on a second.
I wish I knew the song. I don't know the name of the song. It's the Black of the Berry, the Sweet of the Juice, that song. And then I just choked right there. And then, yeah, all I heard was Deuce in the back saying, boo. And I had to go again in Philly.
So that was your choice on the what you didn't?
Yeah. I chose Tupac because of Deuce. I was like, I'm going to do some old school stuff. Everybody's going to know it. You know, do a song that everybody's going to know and sing along to. And I just butchered it.
It was Keep Your Head Up.
Yeah, Keep Your Head Up, yeah. Miles.
You keep your head up. Yep.
Yeah, well, I guess you had to keep your head down. Is what it sounds like.
To redeem himself now, Rich.
So what did you? What was your second crack at it then, Miles?
Oh man, I went with the bread and butter of my generation. I went with Future.
Okay.
Killed it.
So you recovered.
Okay,
you recovered.
Yeah.
So basically, you put the ball on the ground, but you didn't lose possession. Is what you're saying?
Right.
Okay. Miles Sanders here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you make of the running back market right now? You signed a free agent contract as a running back for a second contract in the NFL. Congratulations, Miles. That's a rarity right now in the NFL. And what do you make of seeing Dalvin on the market with Zeke and Kareem Hunt and Leonard Fournette and Josh Jacobs getting the franchise tag and Saquon getting the franchise tag and these guys not getting their long-term contract? What do you, who actually signed a contract, make of the running back market, Miles?
This is a big topic that I've been seeing. And I seen what Saquon said, and basically, he hit it spot on. You know, it's nothing that we're doing wrong. We're doing everything that we have to do, you know, as far as on the field and stuff like that. And for people, and I think GMs or whatever, owners, to think that running backs are not as valued as much is a lie, because you got to see how everything plays out. You got to see what guys like Christian McCaffrey, stuff he does. Things that Saquon do, the things that Josh Jacobs do consistently each year. I think Josh is probably the most consistent back in the league right now, as far as like stats and you know his load and what he produces each and every year. But you want a franchise tag and you know create a certain market for running back just because you have this you know way of thinking that they only last 3 to 4 years. But I think it's BS, honestly. There's a lot of – almost every running back in the league is underpaid right now. I don't know what it's going to take, but that's a topic that needs to be, you know, brought up a little bit more because it sucks to be a running back right now, honestly.
And I'm just wondering, did you see – you and your representation see this formation, you know, like you're standing in the backfield there, you see the defense being the potential free agent market, and you said, you know what, let's do this now with Carolina. I mean, was this part of your strategy to sign where you did and for how much you did?
Just to really try to get a deal done, because I know that the numbers were dropping literally daily as soon as free agency started, and once they made the market $10 million, you know, it was very hard to even negotiate anything more than that or get like a deal that, you know, everybody's been dreaming of, the Christian McCaffrey deal, the Alvin Kamara deal, you know. But you know, it is what it is. It makes me hungrier, you know. I'm gonna still go and do what I do each and every year and hopefully earn force a new contract. So
right, and I guess again, part of it is because teams think that they can get a running back in the draft. And, you know, obviously you were one of them back in the day as well. So, I don't think you and other veterans in this league, certainly on a second contract, would want to deny, you know, any running back who comes in the league the opportunity to get in this spot. It just seems that as soon as they do get an opportunity, folks like you getting a second contract are a little too rare. And personally, I don't get it. I'll be very honest with you. And I think that it'll be big for, say, Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs, They actually got drafted in the first round, you know, top 12. Right. For them to ball right. out, I think, is equally as important for the running back market too, Miles, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, it's going to take, it's one of those things where it's going to take another, I guess, year or two. Hopefully it doesn't drop after this year again, because that would be just ridiculous. It's definitely something that needs to be fixed, because it's, I don't know, there's too much talent out there being underpaid as far as in the running back position.
Tell me about your camp. What do you got going on? Who's going? What do you do there? Who do you speak?
It's a camp sponsored by FlexWorks. I guess they're doing a whole bunch of camps throughout the mm-hmm. the country with certain athletes. And they chose me to do Harrisburg in the Jersey area, South Jersey area, because it's near Philly.
Okay.
But I also have my own personal football camp in Pittsburgh at my old high school, July 16th. And I'm also throwing my first camp in Charlotte, you know, for my new city, July 23rd. So, and it's all free for the kids, and they're pretty much already booked up right now.
Wow.
I think the Pittsburgh one is already filled up. So,
how can people get spots if they're interested in sending their kids to you?
Yeah, that's why I tried to do two camps.
Yep.
I think the Charlotte one's going to be more excited than kind of the one in Pittsburgh, just because I'm new to the city here.
Yep.
And I know a lot of players, when they get to a new city, they don't usually do a camp in that city. So I look forward to that, trying to connect with the community out there and, you know, embracing my new home. So
okay. So check out your social, your Twitter for information.
Yeah, the camps are on my Instagram. I'll be posting on my Twitter just to have more ways to find it. And the link is in my Instagram bio, too. So
okay.
All you got to do is go on my Instagram bio and just click the link.
Okay.
And it'll be milessandersfootballcamp.com.
And what's your message to the kids? What do you tell them?
My message to the kids? Man, I had a camp yesterday, and I think my main message was, you know, just really seeing what's going on in the world and, you know, with the youth and everything. I just thought the main important thing is listen to your parents, man. Your parents have the best interests for you at all times, and yeah, just listen to your parents, do right by your parents, and I promise you, you'll go far in life.
Okay. And then if you get to the NFL, go future, not Tupac, basically.
Yeah, of course. So your generation, don't try no old school stuff, because it's not gonna go well.
Thanks for the chat, Miles. Let's do this let's do this closer to the season, if not throughout. Really appreciate the time.
Yeah,
always.
For sure.
Right back at you. That's Miles Sanders. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm a little shocked he didn't go with Wiz Khalifa, you know, another Pittsburgh guy. You figured that might have.
Just be careful when you're being asked to sing.
Yeah, you better know the words.
So Bryce Young will have to sing, and it'll be up to Andy Dalton whether he gets hazed. You know he's not getting hazed.
Not getting hazed. What is he going to – Andy Dalton's going to make him buy what? Hair mousse?
He's too nice. He's too nice.
It's like a rite of passage.
Weekly supercuts?
That guy doesn't have like a hazing bone in his body, it looks like.
Yeah, but it's not so much hazing. Like, he's got to go get the donuts, the coffee.
I mean,
it's just a kind of a rite of passage.
Honestly, Andy Dalton sounds like the guy saying, hey, I'm running by there. Do you want anything?
Yeah, exactly.
What he sounds like to me.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Bryce, are you a latte guy?
Yeah. What can I get you?
Guys, there's one way for us to find this out.
Get Andy Dalton on the program.
Yeah. Get the red rifle on the horn.
Sold.
You know what I mean?
Let's FaceTime Andy Dalton right now.
I don't have his number.
Anyway.
We got another redhead, though. Patrick Renna.
Hey.
What do you think? What'd you think of that turn?
Well done.
I'll give myself a round of applause.
Well done.
Is the matter with me? All right, we'll take a break. Patrick Renna here in studio. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk to Sandlot and more. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope. Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match.
Get
Get an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and, like, get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, wherever you listen.
Every time there's a milestone year for the great movie The Sandlot, we have this man on the program. 5 years after the 25th anniversary, we would do the math for you. Always here on the Rich Eisen Show. The 30th anniversary of The Sandlot was this past April. The great Patrick Renna back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you been, brother?
5 years good older, but not bad, right? You know, but in a good way, I think.
Seems like this movie is absolutely frozen in time.
It's really wild. Amazing. Yeah. It seemed to, like, really start doing that at the 20th anniversary.
Is that right? Is that what you think?
I feel that way. Like, the first 20 years, you know, it was special and people loved it. But something about the last 10 years has really taken it to a whole new level.
The thing, one of the many things I love about the movie is how it's about kids and the love of baseball.
Yeah.
And also, just like any great sports movie, a father-son story is at the center of it. And it translates. So, I have three kids, and a few years ago, I said, we got to watch The Sandlot. When they see it's not in high definition, they immediately reject it.
Yeah, it's rough.
I'm not kidding you. And it's sort of the way that, Chris, you view black and white movies.
Pretty
You're
much,
like,
yeah.
out.
Out.
I basically, my wife and I were like, tough. We are seeing
Suck
this.
Suck it up, yeah.
We are seeing this. And then an hour and a half later, they're like, can we see Sandlot 2?
Wow.
They loved The Sandlot so much they want to see it again and again, and the totally different generations. It speaks to them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's wild. It's true. I mean, there is something about the movie. I think the B plot is baseball, and that A plot is, like you said, father-son. Friends.
Right.
You know, getting out into the world, no iPads, like, you know.
No
iPads. You know, like, I think,
yeah, so AI. The remake of The Sandlot would be kids like, I don't want to play, I'm just, you know, yeah. I'm on Roblox. Yeah. Is that basically what it would be?
Yeah, the replay, Roblox. I think, is like,
wow, that's the saddest thing about The Sandlot I've ever heard. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Radio Network. Patrick Renna, the man who played Ham, the Hambino in The Sandlot 30 years ago this year, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Also courtesy of DQ, a little Dairy Queen. We'll talk about that in a second. So this movie was shot in Utah. Is that where you were?
Yeah, we filmed. They wanted it to look like the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles.
And so they chose Utah?
Well, because the San Fernando Valley now is skyscrapers, and, you know, everywhere you look, it doesn't look the same. So
right.
They went to Utah, and it had just a nice old school looking valley. I think there's probably rebates and things that you get for
yes.
filming there. So they doubled their money and, you know. Just shot there.
And so you shot there. Is that where you first met your castmates in Utah? Or
no,
what?
I was the last one cast. It was kind of a wild casting process. They originally were going to cast this movie with like 6 and 7 year olds, but they were too young. And they actually cast a whole team of 6 and 7 year olds.
Of 6 and 7 year olds?
Maybe it was
old
seven
kid?
And eight, but it was too young for all this
yeah.
stuff we were saying.
Yeah.
it felt wrong. It felt weird.
Yes.
And so then they recast it. I was the last one. We played baseball. We had a little baseball camp in L.A. for 2 weeks and then off to Utah.
So that's where you met all of your castmates and cast members. The first time was at a baseball camp.
I had one audition and they said, we love you. You don't have it. You need to get along with the other guys. You're going to meet them all tomorrow. I went out and met them. We all got along. I was bigger than them, so I forced them to get along.
Nicely
with me.
Done. Yeah.
And then we just were off to baseball camp for 2 weeks and... Because, you know, Mike Vitar, he played high school ball, and I've played baseball my whole life, so I'm halfway decent. There's a big drop-off after me, let's just say that.
No, you know? Really?
Maybe Brandon holds his own, and then after him, Brandon's the pitcher.
Yes.
After him, there's a pretty solid drop-off.
How old were you?
I was 13, so I was one of the older ones. A couple of them were 12, 11. Mike was 13 or 14. Then the movie came out, I was 14, and... off to just acting. That was my first job.
So who was there anybody famous or well-known or known at all who was running the baseball camp for you?
You know, the guy who plays Squints' grandfather in the flashback,
Okay.
Was our baseball coach. So he's in the movie.
Okay.
I don't know. Garrett, I think his name was, he was just really good at baseball and been around and, you know, had coached movie people. Because there's a certain, you need to know how to,
sure.
you know, talk to 12-year-old actors.
I bet so. You know, I sometimes like to ask questions I only know the answers to.
Yeah,
and I did
it.
Not know the answer to that question. I was kind of hoping your answer would be, oh, yeah, James Earl Jones was out there throwing high heat.
He was. You know. I'm sorry. That is the correct answer. Thank you.
He was famous for going up and in with his four seam. You know,
like that's right.
What did you know who he was when you?
Oh yeah,
everyone knew who James Earl because you got 13, 12, and 11-year olds.
Yeah, we all knew him
as Darth Vader.
As Darth Vader.
Come on.
Marty York went up to him. None of us had the guts to. He was there for a day, and he had this huge trailer, and he's larger than life, and he's famous. James Earl Jones. We're all like speechless, and he was so cool. But we also were all supposed to have a scene with him, and the director changed it to just having Scotty Smalls and Benny in the scene with him. So we didn't even act with him. We just, I think we're like, he like looked at us and laughed in one scene. So none of us had the guts to talk to him. Marty York goes up to him and goes, sir, I hear you're James Earl Jones or something like that. Yeah. Or he said, you were Darth Vader in Star Wars. And he looked at him and said, no, I am your father. That was it. That was the only time any of us talked to him. And I mean,
come on.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
It was pretty great. I didn't need to meet him after that. That's good. It's done.
He gave you really what you wanted.
He really did.
That's a hanging curve.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I am your father.
I'll never forget. I remember that day just seeing him from afar being like, that's James Earl Jones. Field of Dreams had already come out. You know,
oh, yes,
you've seen him in plenty of movies. And then, of course, knew him as that voice. And it was the perfect age because... you're about to be a teenager who doesn't love Star Wars.
And that's Darth freaking Vader. You know, obviously, that's by the way, is it kind of like saying Joe DiMaggio was Mr. Coffee? You know, like you kind of forget, like, you know, he was kind of a great baseball player.
But he was Mr. Coffee.
But obviously, Darth Vader is iconic. I've got Patrick Renna here on the Rich Eisen show. Did the movie come out right around Stand By Me as well?
No, Stand By Me, I think it was a little earlier.
It was before.
Yeah, a little
So did
earlier.
Somebody think, like, you know, this could be like a baseball version of Stand By Me? Is there any confusion in that regard about it
at all? I don't think
so,
but I think the director really had a way of, he's a writer too.
Yes.
And he wrote Radio Flyer. Do you remember that movie?
Of course.
So he had a way of, like, writing these really special stories. He was quite talented and is. And he wrote, directed, narrated it. So he definitely brought that sort of storytelling, father-son story. I think him and his brother had an interesting life story with their dad or stepfather. Because there's a lot of, like, stepfather stuff in his movies, you know?
Sure, absolutely. And was there a big baseball moment?
Yep, he had it.
Okay.
His brother jumped over the fence, got... bit by a dog.
So that did happen, is what
you're saying. There's like this whole history that you know, guided him in writing it.
S'mores in a treehouse, something like that?
Probably.
I mean, so
everyone's had that, I feel. I mean,
so how many people have said you're killing me to you, even though you are not the person who was, well, you were the person being killed, not the one who
was.
That's
right. I said the line. I do get a lot. I get it a lot, you know.
It's, I'm sure.
It happens. And
Smalls.
I get Smalls a lot. Hey, Smalls. And,
but you weren't Smalls.
I wasn't Smalls. Exactly. So I don't have the heart to say anything. Sometimes other people will start yelling at him, like, you don't know the movie. And it gets really uncomfortable. And I just go, yeah, hey. You know.
That was scripted, right?
Yeah. It actually was, the line was, you kill me, Smalls. So I like I improvised a little bit.
So you're a little, you gave it a little Patrick Renna
twist
right.
I gave it the twist, and I feel that's what made it. You know,
you kill me, Smalls.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the same ring.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I don't know. And I don't think it's just because I've known it a certain way for 30 years.
Yeah.
Okay. That's outstanding.
Yeah.
That's a heck of an achievement.
You heard it here, folks.
Was there a big baseball moment, however, in the shoot where one of you, like, legitimately connected and you had to reshoot it because you weren't supposed to or something like that? Or is there anything like that? Any
it's
baseball
really
moments?
Funny because I've done a couple baseball movies since. I just got off of one in Toronto called You Gotta Believe.
Okay.
And it's
about the Mets?
No, it's about the 2002 Little League World Series, and the team, a team out of Texas that wasn't supposed to have the run they did, had this crazy run and got to the semifinals and almost played Japan. And it's just about that team, and I play this like superintendent of the school who convinces the coach to do it. The coach is Greg Kinnear and Luke Wilson's, and it's really cool.
Awesome.
But I was out there in Toronto, and this kid connected, and it almost took out the camera crew. But they're protected now, and you know this is 2023. They have a lot of things in place to protect you. When we filmed Sandlot, they had none of that. We filmed in 1992. This is the Wild West of movie making. So we probably almost took out $1 million cameras every other day, just cracking line drives up the middle.
Hey, you know, like frozen ropes.
Yeah, not our fault, you know.
Hey, look.
So I mean, I think the best baseball moments were they would just roll camera and let us play and mess around. And if you notice, we don't really play games a lot. We play against that other team, but really most of the time it's Benny the Jet just tossing to himself and BP.
Yeah.
So they would let us do that for an hour, and they'd just go around and filming it. And
did James Earl Jones take a crack?
He did not. He did.
Did he really?
No.
Oh, no, you just.
No,
like,
I just.
Damn.
I know you wanted it.
I so. Do. Yes.
He was there for a day.
That's it.
He probably got $1 million in and out. You know.
Okay.
Sorry.
And do you stay in touch with anybody from the cast?
Yeah, all of them.
What's that? Is there like a text chain?
There is.
There's a Sandlot text chain.
Yeah, and it's. Wow. I hope it never sees the light of day. It's terrible.
Is that an OnlyFans chat for Sandlot?
There's a couple guys that have Androids, which is terrible.
Oh, come on.
You know what? I'm just going to tell them.
You're killing me. You say you're killing me?
I have to. Yeah. It's Marty York and Shane Obazinski. Shane played the little brother. Marty played Yeah. They're the Android fools that ruin, make
call
our chat green.
Patrick. Call him out.
I just did.
You're
the
killing
world needs to know.
Kill us.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So you just sometimes text about.
We text all the time. Yeah. I mean, when these big anniversaries happen, I see him 3-4 times a year.
That's neat.
Sean C. Leopardi, who plays Squints, and I kind of stayed in touch a lot.
Okay.
And a couple of the other guys hung out with each other a lot. We don't see Mike as much as the rest. He's a firefighter, and it's sort of just faded away into the sunset a little bit.
Well, speaking of firefighters, what about Dennis Leary? Do you guys stay in touch with him at all?
You know, the only one that had a lot of interaction with him, and he's from Boston, like me, but the only one that had a lot of interaction with him is Tom Guyrie. And he has some choice words there, so I'll leave that to him.
Oh.
Have him on the show. It could just be a
it'll
be a dramatic Dennis Leary, Tom Guyrie chat.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I didn't really meet him. You know, maybe it was very method, like the mean stepdad thing.
We used to have when in studio guests came on, we used to have them putt right before coming on. I think you did that
five years
ago, right?
Yeah.
Dennis Leary slapshotted the golf ball and it almost took out one of the monitors.
How do we feel about that here?
I was great.
We like it.
We're big Dennis Leary
fans.
Dennis Leary,
here. Me too.
Yeah.
He was having something at this real. He's from Worcester, Massachusetts, which is where my mother's from. So I went back for my grandmother's 85th years ago, and he happened to be in this random lodge having some birthday party. But again, like, I didn't have any interaction with the adult stars.
Okay.
I wasn't in any of the scenes, so I just knew, ooh, Dennis Leary.
Mm-hmm.
He also became Dennis Leary more after.
Oh, of course. Like, that was at the very beginning of his career.
Yeah.
And it's just now that he's Dennis Leary, it's wild to see when you're seeing it. Like, I have to tell my kids, like, you'll learn who that guy is. You know,
his stand up. Everything.
My gosh.
I'm a huge fan too.
What are you doing with DQ?
I did this great little run with them. They had a s'more. They have a s'mores blizzard. They brought it back. It's out. It's literally the most delicious s'mores blizzard. The most delicious blizzard you'll have. And obviously, because it's s'mores, it makes some sense.
Yes.
So we had fun shooting a few spots for them, and it's out for the summer, and I had about 2 or 3 of them on that day, so that was wonderful.
How many s'mores did you have in the actual scene?
Oh, probably the same. I mean, I probably had like half a dozen.
Did you purposely, as a 13-year-old, wisely professionally below the line just so you could have more s'mores.
Well, we were also laughing. They bring you a spit bucket and they're like, you can spit it out. I'm like, yeah, totally. Let me spit this out.
Who's gonna spit it out? 13-year-old, get out.
They said the same thing on the Dairy Queen shoot. They were like, do you need a spit bucket? And I was like, I mean, it's gone. It's melted.
By the way, I'm like that way with wine tastings.
That's right.
Like, what are you kidding?
Sir, I'm not gonna like to spit it out.
No, I'm going to finish.
I'm fine.
Oh my gosh, yeah, those flights they take off for me.
Yeah,
the Bambino Athletic line. What is that's the striped tee? You can get the striped tee.
Yeah, it's cool. Over the years I've seen different images from the movie of me on it, and I think Urban Outfitters did it, and so I just was like, this obviously there's an appreciation for it. I'm gonna do this. I partnered up with the creative director of the Mighty Company, which is a female really popular jacket line. Uh-huh. And so she does all the designs, and we just kind of, I wanted to make it a little more than just merch, but like, you know, a level up. So these striped ones are, there's a little, you can't see it, but there's a little called shot patch on there.
Yeah, like, you could see it. The called shot. Did you ad-lib that, or was that part of the script that you had to call your shot, like the Bambino?
No. That was part of the script for sure. Okay. Because that was off Babe Ruth. And,
okay,
you know,
the Hambino,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, that was in the script.
I mean, look at that.
Yeah, crazy.
Dude, when you see this, do you think that's a different person on the screen?
Yeah, I mean,
look at that.
It's funny because, I guess I do. Sometimes I feel like it was yesterday, and sometimes I feel like it was 30 years ago. And I have these memories of the movie, but it's not like memories of filming a movie that you know is going to take off, because we were just having fun playing baseball, getting paid. We had no idea what it would be. So it is pretty surreal to see these pictures and what it's turned into for people.
Yeah, you know? Of course. And when people talk about best baseball movies or sports movies of all time, mm-hmm. The Sandlot is included in that conversation, and rightfully so.
Yeah, you know, which is, a lot of testament goes to the director, because he did write, direct, and narrate. And he was on that set. He was like our big brother. And you say was that improv with this? Like, a lot of the movie was improv, but it was sort of improv through him. Mm-hmm. Like, he just had this bullhorn the whole time, and he was just wrangling cattle with us. And he would just yell direction while we're rolling. Like, that scene where I'm talking trash to the opposite team mm-hmm. when they're all up at bat, that was one take. He just rolled camera, and this is film, so this, who knows how much this cost.
Yeah.
But he would just roll camera, and he had a list of insults, didn't even give them to me, and just yelled, okay, now tell him if I was as ugly as you, I'd shave your butt and teach him to walk back, or whatever it was. And I'd laugh, because I would listen. He'd be like, all right, we're rolling, go, go, go. And then I'd say the line, and it just was this 10-minute, 15-minute take of him tossing lines. So it was kind of like we improv together, you know?
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's iconic, because there are moments that happen in real life. I think about it. Do you remember that kid from the Little League who introduced himself Big Al, who hit stingers? Did you ever see that one?
Yes.
I thought of you. I honestly did. I love that.
Yeah, I hit dingers.
I thought of the Hambino. Yeah, like fully. That is like if Ham made it to the Little League World Series and was asked by ESPN to introduce himself.
I'm the Hambino, and I hit dingers.
Yeah,
that's it.
That would have been it. You know, like, here's...
Hi, my name's Alfred D'Elia. At home, they call me Big Al, and I hit dingers.
It's the best. There should be a movie made about him.
That's like straight out of the Sandlot.
Yeah, it is.
Don't you think?
Yeah. It is. It's pretty great.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on. We'll see you at the 35th, if not before.
We didn't do Mount Rushmore.
We could do it if you want. You want to do that?
Let's do it.
No, it's all right.
It's okay.
We can take a break and come back.
Yeah, you want to take a break?
I really
want
to do it. Let's do it. I want to hear what you guys say.
No, because it is John Elway's, what is he, 63? My God, he's
really?
Almost the Beatles song age. Come on. All right, we'll do that.
That's what's interesting, that you guys have John Elway on the Mount Rushmore.
Well, I do. We'll see if you do, and we'll see if the other guys do. Patrick Grant is going to finish the show with us. Why the heck not? We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show in MO. Oh, look at that. Well done, Smitch.
Interesting.
That's us.
Wait,
in there. Del Tufo is you.
Okay.
For For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? Are you going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Back here on the program, Patrick Renna is still with us. Our radio audience will return in a little bit less than 2 minutes' time. What did you say during the commercial break, TJ? What did you say? That was a good line?
I said that Hambino crawled so Big Al could walk.
Big Al.
You know, so he could hit those dingers.
That's right.
That went viral on the spot.
Yeah.
You know. What is your favorite baseball movie outside of The Sandlot?
Probably Field of Dreams, just because that was sort of the one that came out when I saw it when it came out, like Bull Durham and those, you know, I actually never really saw Bad News Bears. Never.
I showed it to my kids recently as well. And again, that was a big pushback because it looked old to them.
Yeah.
They looked at me like I had lost my mind telling them this is a good movie.
Right.
When Tanner, the language that Tanner used, they looked at me like, what has happened to you, Dad?
Yeah.
And then my daughter, who was 8 at the time, was shocked that Walter Matthau's Buttermaker was drinking and driving.
Yeah.
Shocked. Yeah. Like, she was just like, wait a minute.
Just like ripping what? And drinking.
Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah. Like, Sandlot, you got away with a lot that you couldn't get away with now. Bad News Bears.
Off the charts.
Level.
And I'm like, it's a different time. It was 1975, you know, and it was still bad then. It's bad now. Yeah. But it's just like, yeah, they were like, what, Dad, really? You wanted us to see this? And then it moved a little bit too slow until the baseball scene at the end. Sandlot, they were in from beginning to end.
Yeah, it's weird.
They were locked in.
Yeah. I'm sure I've seen Bad News Bears off and on, but Major League probably is up there too.
Well, it's happening right now with the Oakland A's, it looks like.
Right.
Except the winning to prevent the sale of the team is not happening. Unless they keep playing the Yankees.
Yeah. Are they going to Vegas?
1,000%. And things wrapped.
Now they just need to give us a bullet train from LA to Vegas.
There you go. Yeah. It's just the technology part. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Before Patrick Renna, back here on the show, still with us here, before you came out, you heard in our green room, you, Christopher, mentioning it's John Elway's birthday
63rd
today.
63rd birthday,
and
John
I just
Elway.
Spat out the fact that, you know, he's on the Mount Rushmore. And that is, you know, even Big Cat, PFT, right, of Pardon My Take fame, they joke that this is
Mount Rushmore season
because shows like this one have nothing to talk about except who's on the Mount Rushmore, which means you have to boil down the impossible task of saying who's the greatest to just four people.
Dog Days of Summer. Gotta
so, but we're in it. And so you were interested in talking about it, so let's do it.
Because that's exactly why. There's nothing else in sports.
Well, other than to talk about the 30th anniversary of the Sandlot.
That's right.
And things of that nature.
God for that.
Do you want to say your
what I was saying is that I feel like the three, Tom Brady,
yes,
Peyton Manning, no,
yeah, yeah, keep going.
Tom Brady, yes. Peyton Manning, and
Montana.
Joe Montana.
Okay.
Then I feel like the fourth. I mean, you were saying Pat Mahomes, and I don't know.
I just want to be ahead of it, so I just think eventually he'll be on the Mount Rushmore, barring catastrophic injury. So I would say right now
my fourth is Drew Brees.
I
said it.
I will tell you, you're killing me, Patrick. You're killing me.
I mean,
obviously he has the statistics. He has the longevity. He has the second act that he may have the greatest second act in the history of second acts of the NFL quarterback position.
Tom Brady's second act?
Well, Tom Brady's second act lasted 3 years and he had one championship in it.
It lasted.
Breeze's second act. Breeze was. Hey, you know how I feel about Brady. You can't deny. Like, I will deny Breeze this place on Mount Rushmore, in my Mount Rushmore. But you cannot deny him. Say that his second act is like, name me a better second act in the history of the NFL. He was toast. He was finished. He was injured. They drafted his. Go ahead and look up, Chris. Go ahead and look up I didn't think I'd be caping for Breeze today. But go ahead and look up, even while denying him on Mount Rushmore.
He never won MVP. He had six losing seasons.
Hold up. But look up. Look up. Look up. Hold on. Look up what his record was in San Diego the year they drafted Philip Rivers, meaning he had the season.
It was 11 and 4.
And then they drafted Philip Rivers.
11 and 4.
That's, so I guess that's looked up. That would be the 2002 NFL season.
Wait, Philip Rivers was 04?
So the 2003 NFL season.
2003, they were 2-9, which is how they got a high draft pick.
Okay, so then give me the one the year before that.
He was 2-9.
Because I think he was hurt. Wasn't he hurt? I forget.
But in 2003, he got injured. Then he came back, and in 2004, he was good. They were 11, he was 11-4.
That's what I'm saying. They drafted Rivers, and then he goes 11-4, which is amazing. And then he gets hurt. And then he gets hurt, and then they send him packing because it's Phillip's time. And then his second act in New Orleans is, in terms of the longevity of second act, like, give me another one.
Yeah, because you're saying because Tom Brady didn't really even have a second act. He just had one act.
Well, Tom Brady did it, right. But his second act was at age 42 going somewhere else and winning.
In 2014, everyone said the cliff came after they got smoked by Kansas City, and then he won four Super Bowls after that.
I just can't put Breeze as the fourth on there, just in terms of
the... So you put Elway.
Elway, what, five Super Bowls, won two?
That's my problem. Well, is that winning percentage? I know it's
tough. You made it.
I know. But that's like the LeBron MJ argument. Like, LeBron has made it more than anyone, but hasn't won. I mean, he has a losing record.
I don't blame you for wanting to put Mahomes on there, because you take a look at Mahomes' first 6 years now in the league, and they're almost damn near unrivaled and unparalleled. And he has as many championships now than Elway did.
How do Aikman and Bradshaw never get mentioned?
I was going to say Aikman is an honorary mention.
People, you got to think about those. I get their teams were great, but they never get mentioned. It's like, and I know TJ, he's got to be stewing over it. Because Aikman,
like Patrick Mahomes already has as many career touchdowns as Troy Aikman.
It's not the numbers. People also ascribe for the Steelers the steel curtain defense. They also ascribe for Dallas Emmett.
Yeah, of course. But it's
you want to chime in, TJ?
TJ.
Well, I think when you're doing Mount Rushmore, I think you have to put Johnny Unitas in there, right? If you're going to be, because you're going to. There's no way really to compare these guys, so you have to look at different eras. And
certainly numbers. Yeah. You can't compare the numbers because you're not lighting it up for 5,000 yards.
Yeah, because that's not how football was played back in the day. So I feel like you kind of have to, in respect to what he did at his time.
So give me your four.
I would have to say Unitas, Montana, Brady, and then I'm just going to put Staubach in there.
Oh, yeah. See, TJ? Go old school.
Now, that's just me being biased as a Dallas fan, but... I can understand people aren't going to let me put Roger Staubach in there. So
people aren't going to let you? I let Patrick Renna put Drew Brees in there.
That's true. And you didn't let me play in your fantasy football league, TJ.
What's this about?
I've known TJ my whole life, 20 years. Since I filmed The Sandlot, we were best friends.
Are you serious?
No, not that long. But I've known him for like, how long, TJ?
Since like 2000.
Yeah, and he's got this great football league. They had an opening like 3 years ago. And then our mutual friend Mooney goes, you got to like audition for it.
Audition?
Words to him that I can't say on this show.
Audition?
Yeah.
Audition?
It was something like that.
You know? Audition?
It's got some celebrities in it, some big time
people. Oh, is this the Wilmer Valderrama? Ashton? Is this the Ashton thing, TJ?
This is the Ashton thing, yeah.
But hold on a second. Excuse me.
And by the way, I've met Ashton, and his wife is a huge Sandlot fan. She came up to me. So, TJ, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, what is happening? If Mila wants it, Mila can't get somebody a spot in this fantasy league? Hold on a second. First things first. Who is the individual on planet Earth that told another individual, you tell that person he has to audition for a spot.
Oh, the best man at my wedding.
Yeah.
A brilliant friend, brilliant writer.
What's his name?
His name's Justin Moody. He's a fantastic writer. Okay. He's on strike right now. Yeah.
Okay, well, so let's not kick him in.
No,
but
we won't kick him when he's like,
how does one audition for a
spot? Commissioner Moody's my deputy commissioner. Yeah.
So you couldn't overrule him?
There's 10 of us. Like, I can't, like, they don't. They don't
12-man league, TJ. 12-man league. Come on.
You know, we lost the guy, so we went from 12 teams, and then
dropped out. That's what happened.
Chris is over there wondering, when are we going to turn our attention to him? Because this, honestly, for years, this is, you want to talk about Mount Rushmore. This has a spot for the worst fantasy league.
Whoa.
Moment ever.
No,
if you had a name, like, what's the worst part about your fantasy league ever?
He's a hater.
Hold on a second. Worst fantasy league moment, not talking about league, talking about fantasy league moment ever. If you want to have four spots, I don't know what the other three are. This one's on it. This guy, how many teams are in your league? How many teams?
14, but a lot of drama this offseason. I think we're going to 12.
Okay,
14 is rough.
Contraction. Relegation. Okay, wait, hold on a second. Just because we only have 2 minutes left here. 14 teams.
That's a lot.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
No time limit on drafting anybody.
Oh.
Okay. Wait a minute.
There's more.
Tell them the story. Tell them the story, the moment. Tell me if this doesn't make the Mount Rushmore of worst fantasy moments ever.
2011, 2012, something like that.
Yeah.
A dude took 28 minutes to take Brian Hartline in the 8th round.
Is that not on the Mount Rushmore of worst fantasy moments ever?
That, never invite me into your league. I have nothing to do with that.
Do you want in?
You're killing.
Yeah, that is the reason you're killing me, Smalls. We auto draft after like the 10th round. Just go get us a few stragglers.
And then I told this to Brian Hartline once, and he just started like, he couldn't believe it.
Even Brian Hartline himself could not believe somebody took 20 minutes to dilly dally before picking him in the 8th round.
Wow.
But there's another spot taken up on that Mount Rushmore. Telling another man to audition.
The best man in each other's
weddings. When he's the best man in each other's weddings, like you haven't already proved your worth?
Exactly.
I don't know that was necessarily what happened.
Wow.
Audition. Yeah, maybe audition is a strong word, Peach, because Mooney watches this show, so he's going to kill me.
He's watching right now. I've been holding the spot for DiCaprio since I created this league.
Yeah. You know what? If DiCaprio wants in, I'll take a backseat to him. But that's about it.
Leo could take as long as he wants some Brian Hartline. He's Leo DiCaprio. I mean, come on. Patrick, thanks for coming on, brother. Let's do this more often. You bet. At Patrick Renna on Twitter. Everybody, go to HambinoAthletics.com to order the athletics line. It's called Hambino. I want to thank also today's guests, Miles Sanders. Tom Grossi is apparently going to be on NFL Network tonight.
Oh,
and Brian Windhorst as well.
We'll wrap up. Come true, Rich.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.